Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Weebabor on Power Solutions on 99.3 FM Nigeria Info, where we talk about the solutions to Nigeria's power problems. Today, we have a special guest named Bola Ogidan, who is the founder and CEO of Pirano Energy, which is a fast-growing solar company that's supplying energy to households and businesses all over Lagos. So, good morning, Bola, and thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. So, Bola, so tell us a bit about yourself. Bola, obviously, from his name, is Nigerian. But he grew up in six different countries around the world, went to Oxford. So this is a guy with big grammar, but he's come back to Nigeria to help us solve the power problem. So Bola, tell us a bit about that extraordinary story.
Thank you, Weebe. Really good to be on the show today. So my story is it's a little different, I guess, to some of the other guys who are in the industry. As you said, I grew up all over the place because my dad was an engineer. So I only lived in Nigeria for a short time when I was younger, between the ages of around 6 months and 4 years old. And then we moved to, you know, London, Paris, Oman in the Middle East. We were in Syria for 2 years before the war. Before a lot of the tragedy happened. We moved to Scotland, Saudi Arabia. So we've been around the place. So I grew up very much as an international. And so a lot of the time you find yourself, as we were moving around a lot, you had to find yourself making new friends and trying to adapt to different cultures and things like that. But one thing that was very important in our lives was that my parents they didn't mince their words when they said that I was a Nigerian first.
So it didn't matter where you lived for how long, Nigerian.
Nigerian. So what we always tried to do was try to come back every year or so to Nigeria, because most of my family is here. I got a lot of friends here. And so I always identified myself as a Nigerian first. So I ended up going to, you know, boarding school and then went to Oxford. And after graduating, I studied mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And after graduating, I ended up working in finance, funny enough, for the better part of a decade in London. And during that time, it gave me a lot of, you know, time to think about what I wanted to do. I always knew I wanted to move back to Nigeria at some stage. The question was when. And what did I want to do when I moved back? And we'd been having a lot of conversations between myself and some of my other friends, who Nigerian friends who live in the UK, and people kept saying, why would you want to move back to Nigeria? You know, what are you doing there? Like, you know, it's always so hard, this, that. And I always kept saying to them that the fact is, Nigeria is a place where there are plenty of things which are broken, which the fact is that there are solutions to those. It's just that we need to actually go back and try and fix them.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them kept making fun of me, saying like, yeah, but you're out here. So, and so at some stage I said, well, I'm going to move back and I can prove to you that there's a way to do this. So I had always thought of, you know, as I said, moving back. And what I wanted to do was then the next question. And around 2013, 14, I had started thinking about the areas which I wanted to try and make a difference between transportation, education, healthcare, and power.
Okay.
And what I, you know, figured out was that power was the one that touches all of these sectors.
Right.
And also the one which I probably had more of a background in, given my mechanical engineering background, which is what I studied. So, and the fact was, okay, what can we use to impact the power industry, and what can we use to provide a solution to the constant blackouts that we have here in Nigeria? And it was very obviously solar energy.
Right.
So that was when I started making a game plan to move back and work in the solar industry.
Okay. So now you had this plan. But it's still a long ways from having the plan and knowing you want to come back to coming back. So what was the opportunity that brought you back?
So I actually started consulting for Rensource Energy. So they're another solar company here in Nigeria.
Right.
So I started consulting for them back in 2016.
Okay, so quite early.
Quite early. And, you know, during that period of time, you know, we started making plans about, you know, the company was still in its nascent stages. So we started making plans about how I could move back. Mm-hmm. And I was flying back and forth between London and Nigeria a lot. Mm-hmm. And eventually in 2017, you know, managed to move back and, you know, working with them full time.
Right.
And
But before then, I think you said you worked for Iroko for a little while.
So how did that happen? Yeah, it was just an opportunity that came up. So my wife is actually in the, she's in the film industry as well. So I thought, hey, like, I'd like to see what you do.
Okay.
And working with Iroko was actually a good opportunity to, you know, move back and, you know, settle down and settle in and, you know. I ended up working with Jason at Iroko for a while as a senior manager or the MD of Networks, which was their TV division. And so it was during that period where Iroko was going through an exciting time, launching a number of channels around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was good because, you know, I got to see my wife's world as well. And she's a writer, director, producer.
And she has a movie coming out soon, right?
She does. It's called Tainted Canvas. So she's just finished filming it and she's in post-production. And
nice.
So it's going to be going through the festival routes. I don't know if people know my wife, Segilola Ogidon, if you don't know her. She's in the men's club.
She's in the men's club.
Yes.
Okay. You're okay with that?
Yes. Okay. I have to be.
Good. Okay. So cool. So you came back. You were consulting for Rensource. Yep. Then Iroko gave you the opportunity, but I guess you were still feeling like Power was where you wanted to be.
Yes.
So now you joined Rensource.
I did. Yep.
And were you in Rensource? You know, initially Rensource was doing household.
Yep.
And then they pivoted and came up with this brilliant idea of doing markets. So were you part of that?
Yeah, so I was there throughout that entire period. So I'd seen Rensource grow from effectively 10 people at its, you know, beginnings to almost 200 people by the time I left. And it was during that period that, so at the beginning, Rensource was primarily focused on solar systems for large residential households.
Right.
And around November or October 2017, an opportunity came up to work with the government on the Energizing Economies Initiative, which is effectively powering a number of markets. And the thesis was effectively that, you know, we did our analyses and it was far more efficient to power markets of, you know, large markets, 100 people to 10,000 people or 20,000, you know, shop owners with, you know, aggregated solar systems rather than providing every shop owner with a single pico solar system. I don't know if everybody knows the difference between the two, a pico solar being, you know, very small solar systems that power a couple of lights and fans, and a large solar system being something like 5 kilowatts, which can power, you know, multiples of those, let's say 60 to 70 shops at a time.
Right.
And so having done our analyses, the you know, working with Rensource, we effectively entered into the program and started, you know, powering a number of markets, including Sabongari in Kano and Canton Quarry and a number of others. And so that was a very exciting time, an exciting pivot. But at the same time, what that meant was Rensource was no longer focused on the solar home system side.
Right.
And I always still had this this thesis in my head that actually one of the largest segments, which is always perpetually underserved by the market, is, you know, SMEs.
Right.
And so later on in 2018, I ended up leaving Rensource and founding my company Piranha Energy, which is, I guess you're going to ask me some questions about that now.
Yes, I will. Yeah. So you now left Rensource, and basically because you saw this opportunity that Rensource had now moved beyond, and so you started your own company. And I know you've told me this before, but Piranha, remind me where that comes from. It's a very cool-sounding name.
It's actually a Greek word. It comes from pirate.
See people when people go to Oxford, this is what they do. They come up, they start talking about Greek and whatever. Why didn't you use a Yoruba?
Well, I was trying to think of a Yoruba word that was, you know, powerful enough and memorable. But the problem was I kept coming up with, you know, names which could potentially have negative connotations. Okay. Like, you know, someone, you know, if I said Shango energy, someone might say, no, I'm not installing that in my house.
Right.
So, you know, so I thought, okay, let me make it a little more, you know, international.
Right. Okay.
And I came up with Pirano energy.
Right.
And Pirano comes from the word pyranometer, which is, it's a device used to measure radiation.
Okay.
And it actually means sky fire, pyranano, sky fire in Greek.
Wow. Yeah, okay,
so
that's a powerful name. Okay, that's good. Okay, all right. So, so you started Pirano, and what do you guys do now? What are you focused on?
So Pirano primarily focuses on providing solar solutions to SMEs and some residential, but primarily SMEs, small and medium sized enterprises. Mm-hmm. And the thesis of that is that we have SMEs who are 80% of the, you know, employment, 90% of businesses in Nigeria, and they are perpetually the most underrepresented in the solar sense.
Okay.
And that's because of two things. Most investment in solar goes to the rural electrification side of things and to large scale commercial and industrial.
Right.
And there's reasons for that. Two core reasons. On the smaller end, it gives a lot of, you know, international communities or international funders the opportunity to provide solar to those who are completely off-grid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the 600 million that keeps being quoted of people who do not have power.
In Africa.
In Africa, exactly. Right. So it's actually seen as almost more charitable.
Right. Okay.
So there's a lot of funding that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the larger end, you're primarily focused on providing solar to large international or multinational businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to credit risk, it's easier to diligence.
So for the more commercial-oriented investors, that makes sense. For the
more
impact-focused investors, it's the rural.
Correct.
And then
your
guys
middle,
are stuck
in
the middle.
Yeah, you get stuck in the middle. So you have this group of SMEs who have an ability to pay and a willingness to pay, but the problem is that they also have the ability to provide alternative power for themselves in the form of generators.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't quite have the impact story, or the thought is that you don't have the impact story from that perspective, but you also don't have the simplicity of credit risk analysis on the other end.
Right.
Additionally, on the larger end, you are able to deploy larger amounts of capital to which hits a lot of people's targets when it comes to these multi-billion dollar funders.
Right.
So these guys in the middle get missed. And so I actually wanted to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the story of impact is a little misunderstood when it comes to SMEs. People forget, as I said, that they're the largest employer of people in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who, if you can save them money on their power, they're the ones that provide the most employment.
Right,
like they can reinvest their capital to employ more people, to increase their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
They can do a lot of things with the money that they save rather than just pocket it.
Right.
And so that was the reason for the area of focus.
Right. And so when you talk about an SME, like what size of business are you talking about?
So SME in Nigeria is defined in a funny way. So it can be the small. An SME can be quite small, going from, let's say, a small shop. Or it can be much larger, like someone like a an office with, you know, 20, 30 people, 40 people.
Right.
Or schools or a clinic or something like that. We decided to start on the larger end.
Okay.
So we're starting on the larger end and we'll eventually work our way down towards the smaller.
Okay.
And by larger, I mean people who, let's say, have 20 employees, for example, in an office building, powering, let's say, 3 or 4 ACs, 5 ACs.
Okay.
And those kinds of things. We also do, you know, schools, as I said, pharmacies, small-scale industrial, or, you know, that kind of segment of people.
Right. Okay. And the typical customer, about what would they save by using your systems, your solar systems, instead of the grid and the diesel generators and so on that they're using now?
Yeah, so they can save up to 70% on their power.
Wow. Okay.
So if they buy a system outright, all of a sudden you are using solar as your primary source of power.
Right.
And so you no longer actually, in fact, the grid and your generator become backup power to the solar
in
many instances. So you can save a lot. Now, we understand that not every business can afford to purchase these mm-hmm. systems outright. And so we also provide five-year financing. So okay. you can rent to own a system
okay.
over a five-year period. And even then, we price it such that most businesses will save between 15 and 20% on their power expenditure, even paying a month.
Even paying it off. And then correct. After 5 years, basically, they're getting free power.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. So... how does the technology work, though? I mean, I guess it's solar panels. I mean, is there anything particular unique about your technology, or it's pretty standard?
It's actually standard apart from the batteries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, panels and inverters are pretty much standard, and mm-hmm. a lot of people have them now. But in terms of the batteries, people still use lead-acid batteries, which mm-hmm. are effectively the batteries that you see in inverters or the batteries that you get in your car.
Right.
The problem with those is the batteries just don't last that long.
Right, and that's why you... I think people have a bad feeling about solar because
correct.
Solar works with those batteries normally and yes. they need to be changed.
And yeah. and there was a very real reason for the decision back then. Mm-hmm. And that was because lead acid is cheaper.
Right.
So our systems may not be, you know, cheaper, mm-hmm. but they last a lot longer. And yeah. so what we use is lithium. We use lithium iron phosphate batteries.
Okay.
Those batteries last 10 years.
Okay.
And so if you think about it, when it comes to your overall cost savings, mm-hmm. Not having to replace your battery every year and a half, 2 years, you save a lot.
Yeah.
And the cost of the, you know, the lithium iron phosphate batteries are, let's say, triple the price of a standard
but it pays off
battery, but it pays off very over quickly. That time period right. correct.
And now you said 70% cost savings. What if it's a business that has quite a bit of nighttime operations? Does that change then because of battery cost?
Yes, it would. So the primary businesses that we target would be daytime operators, someone mm-hmm. operating between the hours of, let's say, 8 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Okay.
Because that's when, you know, the sun is available.
Right.
Like, that's
yeah.
when you can really make use of the solar energy that mm-hmm. that's being provided. If you have nighttime operations, then it may change in terms of your ability to save. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's because the sun is just not, you know, providing the power that you need.
Right.
That said, when it comes to nighttime operations, if they're, let's say, skeletal in nature, mm-hmm. They don't use too much power at night, you're still getting those kinds of savings. So
right.
we do have some businesses who... they're not necessarily operating at night, but they'll have all their security lights
right.
on and a security guard with
right.
his fan on and things like that overnight. And they can power that throughout the night and not have to use any grid or generator power.
Right. Okay. So now you mentioned your customers. So maybe you can give us a few stories.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, first of all, I'm sure some of them are, you know, you went to them with this idea, with this product, and they probably were skeptical.
Yep.
So maybe talk a bit about some of those customer journeys, how, you know, they were very skeptical and now, you know, it's completely changed the way they operate.
Yeah, so we have, so I'll tell you a couple of stories. So one was a business in Surulere, mm-hmm. which was quite interesting because we had just started operations quite recently and we installed in someone's home office mm-hmm. at their house. And so this gentleman saw this installation and said, actually, this could be very useful for my business. And so he had previously not really believed in solar before.
Right.
And he wasn't sure about the costs and everything. But, you know, having seen that in operation at his friend's office, mm-hmm. He decided to try and implement it in his own. Now, what was interesting about his situation was he said, okay, I want to power three air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his air conditioners were very inefficient.
Okay.
And right. this is one of the things I always tell people. To maximize your solar, you need to try and make sure you have the most efficient appliances possible.
Yeah.
So at the start, he wasn't really able to power all the air conditioners that he mm-hmm. wanted. Now, I advised him, okay, replace the air conditioners. We have a look. He replaces air conditioners. He can now power five air conditioners in one of our systems.
Right.
And he's using that, you know, diligently and religiously. The second situation is a school, which actually decided from the start that they wanted to try and use solar energy mm-hmm. and not have to buy a large generator.
Okay. So this was, they were a startup, a new school.
Yeah, it was
okay,
a new school.
So they hadn't made that investment yet.
No. And so what they did was they bought a, you know, and this is a school where you have something like 15 air conditioners mm-hmm. being powered, right? Mm-hmm. So what they did was they said, okay, we'll buy a small 10 kVA generator and mm-hmm. we'll only use maybe a couple of ACs on that and mm-hmm. we'll use solar as our primary source of power. And actually the grid will be the backup and the generator mm-hmm. will be the last resort. And so we installed for them and I think last week they didn't use their grid or generator at all.
Wow.
You know, they've been operating consistently with the solar. And this was, if people remember last week, it was the sun wasn't even
raining
strong,
a lot, right?
So it's very nice to see these stories really come out and show that you're really helping these businesses to do what they want to achieve. And so by saving them money on that, they're able to obviously employ more teachers, they can spend money on more materials to teach the kids. And so these kind of impact stories, they're not unique, let's say. They're very tangible. And solar it's a very real technology that people can make use of to save themselves money and actually help their businesses grow.
Right. Okay, so let's go to the phone lines. We only have a few minutes left. Let's see. All right, can you play the numbers for us?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right, so while we wait for the phone lines, now that you've, you know, not only worked with Rensource, but now you have your own company and you've got customers and all that, those friends of yours back in London who used to tease you when you said, oh, you want to go and make impact, what are they saying now?
Well, you know, they're still saying well done, but again, you know...
Have they joined you? Have they come yet?
Some of them have, actually, yes.
They have? Okay, one sec, we have a call. Let's jump to the phones. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Yes, what is your name, please?
My name is Moses. I'm calling from Berger.
Okay, from Berger. Okay, please, what's your question this morning?
The solar, can you use iron, pressing iron on solar?
Can you use the iron on solar? Okay, good question.
Yes, the simple answer is yes, you can. So it depends on the size of your solar system. Our systems, as I said, we can power 5 air conditioners on our system. So by most definitely, we can use an iron on our systems.
Okay. Like a dry cleaner, like a dry cleaning business.
Yes, a dry cleaning business can also use our solar, but the way we work is we would come down to your business and we would do an energy audit and see how much power you need. And then we can advise you on exactly what kind of system and how large it needs to be.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and so if he or other listeners would want to get in touch and find out more about your systems, how would they reach you?
You would go directly to our website, www.piranoenergy.com.
Piranno is P-I-R-A-N-O.
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
P-I-R-A-N-O energy.com, all one word. And then you can register your interest there, and a member of our customer services team will be in touch.
Okay. Fantastic. So now let's go back to your friends. You said some of them are actually now coming back?
Yeah, some of them are coming back. And it's interesting. You're getting a lot more... there's a lot more willingness to move back these days than there was beforehand. People are having similar thought processes to myself, and so it's a very positive thing, because you're getting a lot of knowledge and diversified knowledge coming back into Nigeria, whereas typically we've had a brain drain.
Right.
You know, we've got Nigerians all over the world doing amazing things. You know, we've got, you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers, financiers,
athletes
in top positions. Yeah. And so if we can get some of that knowledge back, there's no way that this country can, you know, cannot develop. Like we will, you know, we are some of the most successful people in the world. And, you know, bringing that knowledge back will help us as a whole nation grow rather than us running away from it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you're an example of that. But so now let's look forward 3-5 years from now. What will Piranno look like? What will the customers be expecting by that point?
So in 3 to 5 years, you know, we'll be doing something similar, but ideally we'd start looking at smaller systems. So we're currently doing 5 kilowatt systems up to 40 kilowatts. We'd start to look at, you know, 3 to 1 kilowatt systems so that we can serve those who don't need as much power as that with solutions which can, you know, save them money just like they do for these larger systems. By then we would, you know, hopefully be touching enough customers that everybody would know, you know, of the benefits of solar and hopefully there'll be a lot more inquiries, not even just for Piranno, but for, you know, from multiple businesses. You know, this is a very wide industry. And, you know, the more people that can successfully, you know, penetrate the market, the better. Because mm-hmm. one of the biggest barriers here is that people don't fully understand that solar can work. The examples that they have, unfortunately, is some, you know, poor installations and, you know, some of the solar street lights, which unfortunately were
political solar.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go there, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so they were not necessarily installed in the right way. Mm-hmm. And so people have a negative impression on solar, whereby if you size things correctly and install them correctly, mm-hmm. these things work. It's mm-hmm. It's simple maths.
Yeah.
And so once you run the maths and you do the installations properly,
right,
it all works.
Right. And so you would say basically the same thing for the industry as a whole and for the power sector as a whole. I mean, 3 years from now, do you think Nigerians are going to be able to see something better?
I think some Nigerians are. Okay. The power industry is very large and very wide. And to solve some of these problems that we have, it's not going to be just solar that is needed. Mm-hmm. We're going to mm-hmm. need a mix of energy sources mm-hmm. between solar, gas, you know, and an abundance of power solutions that, mm-hmm. that are there to make sure that we can provide power for all Nigerians.
Right.
So solar is just a small piece of the puzzle, really. There's going to be multiple other sources which will help us in terms of making sure that Nigeria has the power that it needs.
Right. All right. So thank you very much, Bola. This has been a great show, and thank you for taking the step and leaving, you know, the comforts of London and taking your Oxford education and bringing it to Nigeria and bringing power to people. This is what we need, and this is how this country will transform, as you said. So thank you very much for coming on today.
Thanks, Weebe.
All right. And Lagos, goodbye for now, and look forward to being back next week with another guest.